And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 162.
162?
Yes. I am one of your hosts, Silas Lindenstein.
I'm another one of your hosts, Samantha Rund.
And welcome to the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. Yeah. Welcome. Today, we welcome a longtime friend of mine, Christina McMillan. Christina McMillan from the Netflix show Nailed It.
Yes.
Episode 2, God. Season 2, as you all remember. She's on the show today. Happy to have her on here. Yeah, and she good conversations about COVID and her battle with COVID. For all you COVID deniers out there, here's an actual person that had it and lived, and she's not 80 years old, just a vibrant young woman who got it and it's affected her. And so, yeah, maybe you should, I don't know, maybe get your head out of your ass. And
Yeah, I feel like people are probably already stopped listening to us if they're strong COVID deniers,
maybe,
because
this is
there's
their
so
first
much
show.
Judgment on
this
our podcast.
This might be the first show they turned on and they're like,
well,
oh, what's
that's
this?
That's true. You know,
maybe there's people, they only start listening to shows starting at episode 160. Who
that's
knows?
That's right. You know?
So, yeah, a real life person with COVID and had effects from it and talks about her experience in there. And then, of course, we talk about comedy and then living with COVID and living La Vida Loca, all everything.
Talked about Samantha and you.
Yeah.
We talked about Frank.
That's right. You guys need
rabbit.
To hear about Frank.
And she pitches her one man show. Maybe you can help fund the GoFundMe for that. So,
yeah, I'm going to need.
But hey, folks, thank you so much for listening. If you did, if you enjoy any moment of this show or it brings you a new perspective on anything, maybe, how about go to Apple Podcasts, give a 5-star review, leave a long comment. It helps us incredibly with our ratings and our rankings on said podcast. And then, of course, if you're a big fan, you can go to our Patreon page at patreon.com/blackandahalf. And for just $1 a month, you could become a league of member of the League of Extraordinary Listeners. And of course, you can up that ante and become an Inner Circle member for just a little bit more, like Tara Widener, Keith Nagel, Stephen Ward. They're part of that Inner Circle. And who knows what things they're going to get to do with us after COVID's over. Because now, I mean, we would have had listener parties and all sorts of things. Get together, concerts, who knows?
Oh, how fun. So, I love it. It's just you scared me saying who knows what you're going to get to do with us after it, based off of the conversation that just happened. That's I'm like, ooh, I didn't sign up for that.
Black and a Half and more. Do that, and you can also support our podcast by supporting our other things, our other projects. Like, you could go and listen to my other podcast, You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein, the top rated home buying podcast on Apple Podcasts. You can go to that and learn about how to buy a home anywhere in the nation. And of course, if you are locally, I can help you out buying a home or selling a home. Just go to blackandahalf.com and email me. And hey, yeah, we'll do that. Or then this episode's also brought to you by.
Also brought to you by Beyond Technique with me, Samantha Run. So you can watch that on YouTube, listen where you podcast on more performance talk. I do want to say I just recently dropped Erica Arvold. She's a Casting Society of America, like a casting director, a big casting director, just absolutely amazing. So I'm hoping lots of people listen to it because she's great. And then, yes, if you also are looking for a coach to help you with performance skills, to connect that voice, body, mind connection so you can communicate with more of your whole self, if you're a performer, public speaker, just if you want to feel more confident in your day-to-day interactions, any of that good stuff, you can message me at beyondtechniquecoaching@gmail.com and see if that's a good fit for you.
And that's those podcasts.
Yeah.
But this is this one. So I want you to open your hearts and open your ear holes and listen to episode number 162, Christina McMillan and the Art of Rabbits.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
So, a couple things. I am all healed up nearly from my accident.
That's right, your hand, your finger injury.
It's almost like, I don't know if like you could even see, but it's all just like a line now.
What happened?
I cut my finger with a knife, which is...
Oh, I remember that.
Sounds so wimpy to say to me.
Mm, no, I mean, there's all sorts of knives, you know.
A laceration with... that required sutures is the best thing I found to say. That sounds so medical. Christina, were you going to be a nurse at one point?
Oh, yeah. I'm a nurse practitioner dropout.
Okay. That's Gretchen and I swore we remembered that you were like studying nursing. And then I was like, but no, she doesn't do that. I don't.
Yeah, no, that's a hard pass.
Yeah. That my daughter is getting vaccinated because the FDA dropped.
Sierra.
Yeah, I mean, I know
right.
As of when this show comes out a couple right. weeks ago, they approved the...
Are you going to make sure she gets the Pfizer?
Well, it's the only one approved. So.
Oh, good.
So
okay.
far. So.
Are you vaccinated?
Yeah, we both are.
Yeah.
Are
okay. you? Yeah. Yeah, I'm vaccinated too. I actually got really sick from COVID.
Yeah.
Oh, you did.
Yeah. Christina, we're trying to work on something together here.
Yeah. I almost died from COVID. Actually, I was in the hospital.
Oh my goodness. Well, yeah. I'm glad you're okay. How like scary.
Oh, it's fucking terrifying. I don't remember. Can you cuss on here?
What? Yeah.
You, cuss okay. all you want.
Yeah. Yeah, it was terrifying. I don't remember anything. So. I have terrible brain damage from it. So I essentially had a stroke, had a fever, and it just escalated quick. And I made these diaries and I gave some of them to Silas. Have you watched them yet?
I just figured out where they were.
They're heartbreaking because you can just see where I start to just like lose my mind. And I don't remember going to the hospital. Like I woke up in my bed and don't remember.
Holy crap. How long ago was that?
February 7th is when I started. And it went quick, like within a few days. I had a fever for 4 days of 104. I'm lucky to be alive.
Wow.
I have like really bad. Oh, go ahead.
No, it was like that temperature is just so crazy. It doesn't, like for some reason, it doesn't sound high to me, but mm-hmm. then when I hit that once, oh, that's a bad fever.
It was terrible. And I ended up getting like irreparable brain damage. I'm just telling Silas, like I'm going blind in my left eye right now. So I'm 30% blind, like 30% vision left. So almost blind. Yeah, it was absolutely awful. And now I have like horrific neurological symptoms still. Like I get foggy. I'm not foggy today though for some reason, so that was good. I worked out. I did like a 3-hour hike. So
man, you never can tell like from looking at somebody because you look amazing, by the way. Like
stop it.
No, you really do. You look amazing.
But go on. What do you mean?
you're gonna see her
you
soon
really
in
do.
The Girls of COVID layout.
Oh my gosh, Silas.
The Girl of COVID.
Girls
no, it was absolutely like, it was really weird too, because like, I feel like COVID aligned my energy. Like, shit does not matter. Like, I definitely quit stalking my ex. Let's just get that out there. Like, so
now she's, now she just stalks future exes. Like, no, not her.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, who's my next ex-boyfriend to stalk? You know what? I literally was like, what the hell did I do with that year?
Man, this is the, I will say the thing about like having comedians on is I'm kind of like, wait, how much of this is true?
All of it.
The truth. What's going on? Is this all a joke? Like, what's happening? Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know if I want to do comedy anymore, quite frankly. I've kind of done what I wanted with it. And like, man, these newer open micers are just whiny little bitches. Just shut the fuck up and write some jokes. Seriously, I'm so over it. The ones with the biggest opinions are the ones where I'm like, do I come to your job and tell you how to suck cock? Like, stop. Just shut up. Just like, I can't. Like, what happened to being humble? Silas, when we started, I can't speak for you, but I feel like we were pretty humble.
Yeah. No, I always, I had the urge to be better, but I think my theater acting kind of humbles you a bit. Most people get humbled in acting pretty quick with usually a few incidences or whatever. You're told straight up what's wrong with you.
And oh, nice.
Like, oh, okay. Well, this is why you're not going to be a leading man, Silas, because this, and this, you know, that, and you're like, oh, okay.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I'm not down with that.
Yeah.
Were you in theater?
I just squint and shake my head.
She's like a supreme theater master.
Thank you, Silas.
I feel like I remember you talking about her a long time ago.
Probably. It was probably bragging.
Thanks, Silas.
Yeah. Like, I want to work as much as Samantha does, man. Show up everywhere, be on commercials.
What? TV. What commercial? I'm going to look her
Silas.
Up.
Silas. You know, I feel like
it is weird to like be watching TV and to see Samantha pop up occasionally. And I'm like, that's another one. What the hell? How is she getting all this work? And she doesn't about it.
What commercials?
It's been a hot minute, especially with like not really, you know, like the pandemic. I haven't been like out
Sounders
auditioning
Healthcare,
and stuff, but yeah, right. I did. That was fun. I got to play a physician for the Sounders, some commercial for that, a physician, and then also a therapist. Nice. I'm thinking, what else might you have seen that came across? I don't know. Lots of just
she was
various,
on Adult Swim,
things.
Right? Was Adult Swim?
Yeah, yeah, no. Yeah, Three Busy Debras. Yeah, yeah. I think that's on Amazon now, but it is the Adult Swim network.
You know that show. I was going to ask you if you do voiceover work. You have a great voice.
Thank you. Let me tell you, I try. I have like demos and I've taken classes and stuff. And I've done like voiceover stuff where it's been connected to a commercial I got cast in. And then they're like, great. Now can you do this part? Because we like your voice or industrials and stuff. And then I've gotten pretty close to like on hold for some things here and there, but like I'm really hoping to break into voiceovers.
Let me hear your Russian accent.
I don't know.
Yeah, I probably need a little bit of prep,
you know,
for that.
Yeah, we're not like monkeys. It's like tell me a joke about
pickled
a
vodka
monkey.
You eat pickle. You drink vodka, you have pickle vodka.
Nostrovia.
Yeah. There was actually this restaurant I was working at. There was a Russian guy there that was celebrating his 50th birthday, and he did actually have out like vodka shots for everybody in pickles. He was awesome. But
yeah, Russians are no joke. I lived with a Russian family, and I was like, why is everybody yelling all the time? They always were yelling at each other.
Yeah, just talking.
It's just talking. Well, I'm Irish, so I get it.
Yeah. I'm not. It's just drinking. It's just drinking.
And Spanish. So,
like, okay, Christina, you have been. You're not a clean comic. You are not a like our buddy that was on a couple weeks ago. But you weren't like an offensive comic. Like you weren't a shock You weren't a shock comic, right?
Ever? No.
Like,
no.
What do you think of? Okay, did you see this thing a couple weeks ago? What's the guy's name, Samantha, of this that video that dropped of the guy that went on?
Are you talking about the Kill Tony thing?
Kill Tony.
I just heard about that thing today.
Wait, isn't that why you messaged me?
Yeah, because I just heard about it today.
But you saw my comment.
Oh, yeah,
I thought you were responding to my comment on the video that was posted.
Oh, maybe I did because of that. Like, I just saw that whole thing today.
What is this? I'm looking it up.
But you Kill Tony, Silas, he has run this, like, show or whatever in L.A. for years at the Comedy Store, I think. And they get comics can get picked to do a bit of their set and then they critique it. But I think he does a lot of like roast comedy and stuff. I don't know him too well. I haven't heard a lot of his stuff. That's like, I know of him kind of. Yeah. But I just heard about the scandal or whatever today.
Okay. I don't know, but speaking of roast, you know what? The last roast I did. Oh my God. I forgot my notebook when I went up there.
Oh, wouldn't that have all your jokes in it?
And I was like, fuck. Yeah. So Sherry beat me. But had I had that notebook, man, I had some really good jokes about her son. Anyway.
I find like roasting is hard for me. I like a toast battle. Like I just want to brag on the other person.
Boast battle.
Like a boast battle. Like I would like that. I just feel like a roast battle kind of, I don't know if I'd say it scares me, but like, yeah, I guess partially it feels like it would be too easy to cross a line when you're just going for the kill.
I just generally don't. I'm like, I don't know. I generally, I don't like them unless it's like it is to honor somebody.
Like a wedding the next day or something.
You know,
I've seen some where it's really funny. I think it's just like a little bit harder for, I guess I haven't tried it that
Barbara
much
Sayre,
either, but
I
just want to like compliment people.
Barbara Sayre did a retirement show before she was retiring from comedy and asked me to be on. And that felt like an honor. Like, and it's just roast. Mm-hmm. I know we're going to roast each other too during it, but not like the battles just seem so, just so mean. Like it's just about being mean. But this Kill Tony thing, that wasn't a roast. That was just a guy coming up and being a douche saying things about Asian, making a bunch of Asian comments, like saying like, what are you laughing at this Asian guy for? What are you for? And he did not say Asian guy. He said like a slur. Yeah. And it was just like, it's just maybe like, it wasn't like, and I forget the guy's name. I'd have to look up that post I was on with the guy's name from it. I don't know what Kill Tony is even, by the way. I don't even know if that's a show or what it is.
Yeah. It was like a podcast. Like
a podcast or something, yeah.
So,
But I think he's really known for the roasting and all this, but from what the limited bit that I heard, because you know how I love to say vague anyway,
yeah.
Unless if I really know what's going on. Like, I don't even know enough about this to have a full opinion. Do you know? Like, I heard it was a different sort of show.
You haven't, so you haven't heard it?
Oh, no, I listened to it. Oh,
okay.
I did not find it funny.
Oh, that's the sad part. If you're going to be offensive, at least it's, you know?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I feel like the part that's a little bit hard about it is like, I mean, I go on stage and I'm not always funny. But then again, I don't say stuff like that either. Like if you say stuff like that, it really has to be funny. Otherwise, it's just like really terrible. But I don't know the whole story. I just know I thought I was just like, ooh.
Well, I don't think there's a whole story. There can't be a whole, unless that whole thing is taken completely out of context, you know, like, and I don't see how there could be a context to make it work, you know, unless he was, it's just a ridiculous thing to do and to defend and compared to like Ralph, he was going, oh, well, Ralphie May says stuff like he would never work today. And I was like, well, first off, Ralphie May does work today.
and he's famous.
He is working, and his stuff always had a point to it. His whole, he has a show. It's a whole thing. It's not just going out and saying nasty things for 5 minutes to be, I don't know. I don't even get these people. If it's to be edgy, they think that's being edgy. And it's just like, no, you're just being a shit. The only people laughing at this are people who are like, wish they could be kind of racist. I wish I could be openly racist. So I love people who just say racist shit and say I'm a comedian.
Oh, like, I know. Right? And I'm like, have you filled out a 1099? No. It's interesting because I went to an open mic and I was like, what's happening right now? Like, it was just like, I mean, if one more like mediocre looking, like maybe if I was wasted and like sad, maybe guy goes up and talks about getting laid, I'm going to blow my brains out. I'm just like, am I the only one here that knows that they're full of shit? Like, at least make relatable jokes. Like,
hey, Christina, could you hold your mic? Can you hold your mic or pull it away a little? It keeps something.
Here, wait, hold on.
Something is staticky.
I hear it too.
Oh, that's better.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. How much of it was staticky?
It just started happening. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the mediocre fake getting laid guys that were just, they were sending you that negative energy. I'm teasing. They were messing up the sound waves. They don't want it getting out that they really don't get laid, man.
I mean, it's not really hard to see the truth, which is all of them don't get laid. And it's frustrating at times. Like when I started comedy, I was always very observant. And like, I remember I met with comics who were veterans to help me write. And I remember when I went through my divorce, because I married a comedian because I'm an idiot. I actually was like, I'm just going to get really funny. And I did. I got really funny. And I also like it, the timing for it was perfect. And it was like, I've never killed. I've had to stop for a second because people are laughing, which is like the best feeling ever. But I don't ever say I've killed. I mean, I literally have been bombing comedy for like off and on 7 years. And sometimes I have a good set.
What would it take for you to say that you killed? This is a cross-examination now.
But, you know, I don't think I'll ever say I killed. Because what I like to do is I like to make people laugh. That's why I do comedy. I have a gift. We have a gift that is unique. And every time you say you're a comedian, people say, oh, I've always wanted to do comedy. It's like, yeah, you know what? You should totally try it.
Ruin your life. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know what? It's no big deal, guys. Just you have to come up with a really good opener. Make sure that your transitions and segues hit, punchlines are all matching, and make sure when you get that closer, man, you get that closer. But yeah, you should do comedy. You're funny around your friends, right? But it's just like, you know, we are gifted people. We get to do something just unique and fun. I've had a woman tell me she had a horrible day. She had a fight with her partner and I made her laugh. And I was like, I could quit comedy today because that's why I do this. So the politics, the bullshit, write jokes, just be funny. I don't care about who, what, when. I'm known as the Suge Knight of comedy. Maybe that's just because I don't give a shit what people think.
Yeah, what does this mean? What is that?
I don't know.
She's in prison? I was
like, in jail? My parents are rich. I've only been to jail. Never. But yeah, it's just weird. It was like, I just don't care what you're saying. Just be funny. Just like be easy to work with and be funny. And that's all that matters. And so I don't, as long as people are laughing, I'm happy. And if they don't, they don't, you know, just get funnier, write better jokes.
Have you thought about, because you said you're not sure if you're going to keep doing it. Do you have other outlets that you think you can dive into? Like, do you play the banjo or anything?
I play the ukulele. Fun fact. I have five people in my entire life. I've known this since I was eight, who know how to spell ukulele. My dad taught me this trick and I've won tons of money. Do you guys know how to spell it? Don't you dare Google it. You're Googling it.
No, I'm thinking. I don't want to embarrass now myself. I play it publicly.
I play it, but I'm like, now I'm all nervous that I'm going to.
Okay. Just try.
UKULELE.
Okay, so I know six people because Silas cheated.
What? By playing the ukulele for 5 years.
I don't know, Silas. I do have a lot of outlets. I love to paint. I've been recently into tarot, so I've been painting my own tarot deck.
Oh.
And yeah, you know, I love art, but with comedy, like I said, you know, it's like, I mean, here's the thing. I used to have bright red hair. Nobody knows who I am, which is fine because I'm nobody. I'm a schmuck. But like, I'm starting completely over and I don't like it. I'm just like, I've already done this. It's like, spoiler alert, you know, you get to be funny. And then I don't know. I just kind of think I'm in like another stage in my life where I think I want to find something to make me happy. Because comedy, like, let's be real, COVID, I can't write jokes about COVID. My last relationship, super mentally abusive. There's nothing funny about it. It's sad, you know? So that's kind of where I'm at. And I also don't like I think comedians are just too negative.
Yeah, I think comedy is naturally pessimistic. Because I feel like a lot of people's sets are, you know what's horrible about this? You know what's bad about the movies? You ever like, whereas improv is naturally optimistic, where it's starting like saying yes, 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 and yes, and we'll do this. Like,
yeah.
It's there's an optimism to it. And comedy that's not, I don't know, comedy tends to look at like what's wrong with things and pointing them out. Mostly.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. What do you guys think as far as like when your life's going well? Do you think that you're funny or do you have a harder time with comedy?
Define going well.
like things are just, yeah, you know what? I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I thought I was happy. Single. But like, I don't know.
I'm teasing.
Define going well as like, you were in a commercial.
No. Well, I think goodness. I try to look for what's unusual or just something that like sparks my interest. So I don't know that it necessarily makes that much of a difference if things are going well or things are going in a like kind of a like,
I think,
you know?
There's always something wrong.
Yeah. I believe you see this. You have kids.
You can find something going wrong.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's always something. There is always something to like find to be upset about.
I haven't been happy. That was a good question. Seven. So
I mean, yeah, I feel it. Hey, you want to know what I have this idea for a one man show? Here's something I was thinking about doing.
Ooh.
Okay, so here's what I've been wanting to do. You can't see my rabbit right now, Frank. Hold on. I'm just gonna he'll run out here in a second. I have this rabbit who's insane, but he's the coolest thing ever. And I'm hella bonded to him. I know it's like, rabbit people, by the way, are weird. Like, you think horse people are weird? Mm-mm. Rabbit people are weird. But I have so many stories where Frank's just a total dick. Mm-hmm. And I want to make up this one-man show called My Asshole Frank. And I talk about Frank, but you don't know he's a rabbit.
Yeah.
And then at the very end of the show, I say...
Spoiler alert.
I show a picture of him.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Samantha didn't cover her ears.
Oh, why?
I know, because I hate spoilers so much. But I'm gonna have to wait for her to write it. And
yeah.
I mean,
already from the beginning, she already let me know it's about him. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, you guys know his name's Frank,
and that he's a rabbit.
But I'll make up the joke. Will be funny. You'll actually be like, "That was actually pretty funny." Like I have.
Yeah. When you say rabbit people, do you mean like are these from Facebook groups? Though.
Thank you for that, Silas. So literally, I called Silas like 2 weeks ago. And I might have still been drunk at 8 a.m. I can't confirm or deny. And I was like, Silas, I just got put in Facebook jail from a rabbit group on Facebook.
But here's the thing. I don't know that you mean that rabbit people who are on Facebook are special people. Like, because look, I'm on a bond. When I started doing Bonsai, I was like, this is about peace and tranquility and lines.
Karate.
And then I joined a Bonsai Facebook group And holy shit, I didn't know, like, people are mad about everything everywhere. Yeah. Like I, this is nothing what I expected from a bonsai group. I didn't know people would yell at each other for the way they treating their bonsai.
Yeah, that's how they are with, like, so I mean, so here's the thing. I was asking about getting another rabbit because I like to complicate my life. So things are kind of steady right now. You know, I'm starting work again. Finally, I am a little nervous about starting work because I do get confused when I get stressed and I don't like that feeling. And I'm super insecure about it. And I've, like, I've cut so many people. I've trimmed the fat of my life, guys. Like, it's a lonely road. I'm not going to lie, because people, like, personalize COVID. And it's like, who gives a fuck how you feel about COVID? I almost died. I'm here because apparently, like, it's not my time to go, but, like, how dare you, like, make it about you? Like, I had an ex text me about having COVID and somehow he, like, made it about him. I was like, this is impressive. You're good. Well, job.
How do you mean? I know, like, else you might have got it right away, but I know there's something I'm missing in what you mean.
What part?
So, like, what do you mean? Okay, example. Here's an example. I don't understand. I don't know what happened when I went to the hospital. Okay. I thought I got in a fist fight with my neighbor because I had bruises all over my arm. And I remember us fighting with each other. I thought that, like, people from the FBI were after me because I was hallucinating because my brain was boiling.
Well, yeah.
Don't remember this. I also walked down my hallway naked, allegedly. And I don't remember that either. I wasn't here. Okay. So I don't remember anything. And my neighbor across the way, Harmony, we finally talked after a month and she was like, we never got into a fist fight. I'm like, well, where did these bruises come from? She goes, you were banging on my door. Whoa. I go, there's a bruise on my wrist. Did I get arrested? No, Christina, you took off your hospital band and bounced out of the hospital. I'm like, what? I don't remember any of this. Okay. So people have a hard time with that. They get uncomfortable because their narrative is like, oh, it's just a flu. Well, yeah, it is just a flu. Technically, but for me, my, you know, underlying health condition is irony, clearly, right? So, like, of course I'm going to get COVID and almost die because, right, when I'm about to go full time with this amazing company, I'm making six figures. Of course it's going to happen. So, like, that type of shit, my friends, you know, one of them was like, I'm, you know, I'm changing and, like, waiting for you to adapt and change. I'm thinking, like, dude, I met you, like, at your work, locked myself out of the house and, like, asked you if you had Coke the first time I met you. I've come quite a ways here. Like, I'm getting over COVID. And he's like, again with the fucking COVID. And I'm just like, you insensitive mother.
Enough with the COVID, Christina.
COVID. I'm like, I had the rug lifted out from under me. My life was like, I was right here. I was finally here. I worked so hard to get here and it got taken away and I have to start all over again. And I also have serious brain damage. So sorry if I'm, like, you know, spoiling the mood, but it's hard for me. I have serious, like, long-term symptoms. So why don't you just fucking choke on a dick and get out of my life? Because, like, that's how I feel with people. And it's hella lonely because they don't like that idea of, like, COVID. And to your point, Samantha, with the ex, my ex texts me, like, I heard you had COVID. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, I have to ask you a question. Were you drunk when you... Or, like, did you mean it when you said that you love me? I was like, oh my God, did I text him when I was at COVID and don't remember? And I was like, of course I was drunk. But yeah, of course I mean it. And he, like, went into this whole arbitrary about how he felt about me. And I said, it's so impressive how you make my COVID about you. You know, like, so it's weird.
That's got to be incredibly frustrating too, though. Cause yeah, like yes, it's a word everybody knows, but people's experiences of it are so different. And then on top of it, having all these freaking COVID deniers out there too, like, it makes me so upset. And I have not obviously had your experience. So I just can only imagine that.
I was watching a board meeting before this in Florida, I think, or California, where they, the people up there were trying to tell the doctor and other folks about how, you know, if it's not an N95 mask and you're not wearing goggles, it doesn't even help. And I'm like, you dude who doesn't believe in COVID at all anyway, you are not an expert on this, and that's completely wrong. For the record, yeah, that is the best protection. But
yeah,
there are stages of protection, right? Mm-hmm. Like everything else in life, there
That's
are stages.
Right, you know? They got their spermicide, the IUD, condoms. I mean, there are levels of protection.
This is not covering my mouth. Is not an effective COVID, but it actually is better than doing this. See,
yeah,
like even that. So, like, yeah, actually, a piece of cloth is better than nothing. A piece of N95 is even better than that. Like, things are better is what I don't get, how they don't understand. Like, it's just there is some basic science stuff that they miss when they do all these. And I'm just blown away that we spent a whole year freaking talking about how viruses work, and you still don't know?
Yeah.
You still don't know this? A piece of cloth can't stop. It's smaller. The virus is too small. It can't stop. But the water it travels in. This is the first week they told us that this, you should know this by now. And then I want to say, I don't know what's worse, is the COVID deniers or the people who seem to have accepted it still doing shit that, like, there's people that are like, totally seem to believe in COVID, totally were isolated, totally, like, everyone needs to vaccinate, da, da, da. And then they just want, like, they like, well, no, now I'm going back to life because everything's.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, and by the way, never left my apartment. I was so careful and I still got COVID.
But oh my.
You told me you left
that's
once.
That's frightening.
I did go out one time, but I got the next day. So I think I had it before that.
Oh.
But I went out two times, July 4th with my friend Justin to a rich people party, which I'm not welcome back, which is fair. And then with my girlfriends, we were like, come out. And we went outside and I was just like, oh, I felt icky about it. And then I got COVID.
The thing is, I was talking to my wife about this because we're not doing stuff because we have kids. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing we keep coming back to, is that they don't have protection yet. And she had a patient saying to her, the patient was mad because both the patient and my wife have both been vaccinated, yet they're in this hospital room and they're both required to wear a mask. And my wife was explaining, well, it's not about protecting me. And it's not about protecting you. It's that, as far as we all know now, we can still carry it. Mm-hmm. And I can carry it to someone who has no immune system because of where she works. Mm-hmm. Or she can carry it to her children who could get it. It's not about us. And that is the thing that it seems that people don't. And I don't know, it's not just this country, but there's a lot in the country that, if it's about other people, it's not their immediate, they don't care. Like, it's out of the thought.
I feel like that's also somewhat connected to the mentality of the customer is always right. I think it's like, it's that sort of similar mentality. You know, I'm right. I won't be inconvenienced. I'm paying for it. I'm entitled to X, Y, and Z. I don't have to be considerate of somebody else who might be in not as good of a situation. You know what I mean? It's just, it's not cool. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's like, I hate COVID too. I want to go out with my friends too. I'm miserable too. Okay. I didn't want to be isolated in this apartment for 28 days and unable to leave too. You think I want that? Like, it's like, I understand where people are coming from. I get it. But it's like, protect yourself. Study cellular biology and epithelial cells and then come back to me, or cells and come back to me. So like, and humanity, man, like, you tell somebody you got sick with COVID and they ask me if I have an underlying health condition, I'm like, I will literally kill your family for asking that.
And
I will say, like, sorry not to cut you off, Seth. I have not been a total shut-in now. Like I was, but I'm still like, it's still just like generally grocery store, outside walks. Occasionally I see my mom. My mask is always on. The one thing that I did that was actually a social thing was I went to an open mic last night. I wore my mask the whole time.
Where'd you go?
Tony V's. Yeah. Oh. It was so fun. But yeah. There were some people who were not wearing masks, and it was driving me crazy because they kept on saying, put on your masks, guys, put on your masks. So I just made sure I stayed far away from them. And I only took off my mask to do my set when I was far off on the stage. But that was that. I did find that like really frustrating.
Well,
it wasn't like very crowded or anything, but still it's like, wear your masks.
And that's the thing. The thing is, it's inside. It's 15 minutes, over 15 minutes. You all can spread COVID to each other still. You're vaccinated. Your partner's vaccinated. You go home. You don't have anyone to infect. So you're still safe. Like I can't go to those.
No, I get that. Yeah. That's part of why I'm like, I need to go out now because in about two months, I won't be able to do that.
I mean, you might have antibodies. So
Get COVID?
Yeah. Huh?
Did you get COVID or are you talking about your vaccination?
Oh, sorry. I'm vaccinated, but I'm pregnant. And so once the baby is
huge right now,
what?
Your boobs are like, they're so big.
Thank you. You know what? I can't tell that they're huge, but they are enormous and heavy. And I get these bras in the mail and I look at it and I'm like, this is ridiculous. That's no way this is going to fit me. And I show it to my fiance, the bra, and I'm like, look at the size of this thing. There's no way this is going to fit. And then it fits. So I think after the experience is done, I should just at least take a couple of bras and just frame them or something. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. I don't like it.
Well, since
it's not going to be a Dolly Parton situation after the... I'll go back to regular big, not like ridiculous. Well,
since they don't freeze them yet, since once the baby's born, they get bigger. So
yeah.
Yeah. So I don't really, I'm going to be curious about what sort of purchases are going to happen then.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't see it, but you know, I'll take it.
I mean, how far
are you? Thanks for saying something, Christina, because I can't. So
I can't tell you guys. It's just because the rest of me is so big too, you know?
Oh, I feel it on a spiritual.
The rest of you.
I'm like,
they're all behind the boobs.
Well, congratulations on your nugget.
Thank you. Thank you.
Is this your first baby?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited. I know now it's taken so many months until I would actually talk about it on the podcast. Like before, it was a while afterwards before I even like would tell Silas after we were done with the podcast. And then it was like a couple months after that before I even would mention it on the podcast. And now we're getting closer to delivery. So I'm like, okay, we could talk about it on the podcast.
Is it punching you yet?
She is moving.
I didn't want to give.
No, I noticed that and I appreciate it. Thanks, Silas. Because Silas knows how private I am.
Yeah.
That just goes hand in hand with being a comedian, like just not wanting to share anything about your personal life. It's
funny part, Samantha, that's how I know you're a comedian, because you said that, but a lot of people don't like it's interesting how the gossip scene and most of the people that are gossipers, I'm just like, like go on tour and sleep in a hotel with Justin Hayes and share a single air mattress in between tours and have Old Man Magoo heckling you from the back in South Dakota and then talk to me about being a comic, because that's pretty much what it's like, you know? And to your point, as far as like being private, it's just a weird thing that.
Oh, like it's really hard to. Yeah. Yeah, it pushes me out of my comfort zone. So I have to figure out like what things I'm okay with, like not being private that I can make jokes of.
And what did you work on last night? How was your set?
Oh my gosh, it was not great because I haven't been on stage in like over a year. But I spent some time, you know,
aside from the racial slurs, what did you talk about?
Huh?
Aside from doing a lot of racial slurs, what did
you... Oh, yeah, of course. Aside of those. Oh, man. Just offend myself then. But, you know, it was fun. It was like, you know, there was one joke that I was like, okay, this is the joke I think everybody's going to laugh. Like, this is the one that's going to get the laugh. Other stuff, I was just like, let's try stuff out. And I wrote some stuff down, but then I thought there was no way I could possibly, because it was, you know, like I said, an open mic, but there's no way that I was going to get to 5 minutes of material of new stuff. I'm thinking, how am I going to fill this up? Because it's been so long. Oh no, it was 5 minutes before I knew it. And then I didn't even get to a couple other things that I was like, oh, that was an actual, like, that was a solid punchline. That was fine. I had a good time. It was really nice to see
people.
Was it
weird doing it like, did it seem weird doing it pregnant? Was that?
No, it was like, honestly, I just felt like, man, I wish I could be doing it more. But I also feel bad to say, like, I wish I could be doing it more, because I know it's been like, been fortunate this past year to be, you know, in good health and all that. So, knock on wood, as I do.
Did you have any virtual shows like at all when you were during COVID?
I did three. And I had a couple others that I was looking to do afterwards, but pretty much once I like found out I was pregnant, I started getting very exhausted and nauseous, and not like terribly nauseous, but I just didn't have energy or bandwidth for some of the stuff. So I just started like doing less. But yeah. Silas, I don't think you did any virtual shows,
yeah,
right?
I tried watching one and I made it 5 minutes and I had to turn it off. I just couldn't. I'm like, I'm not doing this. And it's, oh, this is horrible.
I did one and had a meltdown on it.
Was it a virtual meltdown? One?
Mm-hmm. I was like, this is the worst fucking idea I've ever had, which was to do this. Why am I doing this? Why am I on this show? I'm questioning every life decision I've ever had. As you know, silence I'm used to, clearly. Like, I just had like a meltdown. So,
like, I've had more auditions, I think, now. I've done more acting stuff because of this.
You have?
Well, where I did a screen reading, you know, I read for a screenplays one night and done like that kind of stuff that I just wouldn't have had time to do, or I wouldn't have chalked out a night for it. I'm like, I'll do that. Or, by the way, yeah, I had an audition the other day. I meant to tell you about. Did I tell you about it? My four lines.
You told me a little. We talked a little bit about it, but not like not obviously.
Christina,
not on
it was
the podcast.
My first feature film audition, which is nice.
How'd it go?
I got it. I think. Well, I won't get it because it went well. It went very well. And that's not how it works. You don't. I feel like I get the stuff that I'm like, oh, I don't know how that went.
Yeah, it's like interviewing.
I'm like, no, it went well. The casting director or whatever was like, I threw her off because I did it the way she's like, oh, I've been trying to get direction to give people to do it the way you just did it.
That's
so
great.
Like, I'm like, yeah. Well, just stay. I send the contract. I'm good.
You're like, yes, okay, I'm hired.
So she had to like think about something new because she'd been giving the same direction to people, and I just nailed it apparently. I did it without my glasses, which was what I was worried about. So, you know, it's supposed to be memorized, but I'm really bad. It's really hard for me to memorize lines if I don't have a gig booked, because I'm like, this is wasted time. This is not my money. I don't hold lines until I'm getting paid.
That's
right?
So interesting.
So but because it was this on Zoom, and I was like, well, I don't know if I can wear my glasses for this or how they'll feel, because I think they want me to have it memorized. So I printed them out. I printed two pages of it in huge letters, right? And I learned it enough that if I saw the first lines, I could get it. And I put them on both sides of the camera in case they wanted me to face a different way. I would have it no matter where I looked. So I totally faked it, because I've gotten really good doing auditions to a camera with like the script up
right
next to it. That's one thing COVID's helped me do. Read, read teleprompters, you know?
I work as a recruiter I don't do comedy, but so I work as a recruiter, and that's what I always tell people is when they're interviewing, since it's virtual, to just write shit down and put it behind the computer.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's smart.
Use the tools. You know?
Yeah. Or like if they're asking a question, it's okay to look in the camera and type it out if you're a typer.
Yeah.
And then answer it. You know, because the company I work for, the interview process is intense. You have to have like a formatted answer, and they just grill you with behavioral questions. So it's like, of course, yeah, it's crazy. That's my passion. That's what I love to do. I love to like work as a recruiter because it's fun. It's challenging. I like to like challenge myself and like have BLNA and like diverse candidates, you know, because like, you know, it's a really, really rewarding job in that sense. So it's like, that's like with comedy, it's like, it's just to say you're a comedian. Like Silas and I have talked about this too, is like the whole comedian thing is an ego. I don't introduce myself as a comedian ever. I don't tell people I do comedy usually. It comes back. It like, I tell my friends when I get to know them, if I need them, but like, no, I work as a full-time recruiter and I make a fucking bank. Right. So it's like, that's what I like to do.
Well, it might honestly though, it might be easier for you to say that since it's a good job. I think a lot of people don't want to introduce themselves as a sandwich maker.
Yeah. Or a bar.
Yeah. But I think also too, it's like, what is their end goal? Like, what is it that they want to be making all of their money at?
I mean, I worked as an agency recruiter and I didn't make that much money, but I just really like working. I think it's like, you know, when you, I tell people like, if I'm hiring for like a supply chain, like, you know, retail stuff, I tell people I'm your hype man. So I get to like prepare people for something that they're going to do and they're going to start their career. It's like, it's exciting for me. It's rewarding. And it's like a helping people aspect. I was going to tell you guys, I'm not working right now. And so all I have to do is like think. So I don't know if you can see, I have like a telescope behind me. I bought like a telescope. I'm like,
I thought studying. You weren't stalking anymore.
Everybody keeps saying that. And I'm like, I don't have anybody here to stalk. I have an opportunity to. And like, you know, so I've been taking my time and I've been helping my friends. I have a girlfriend who works at the co-op. She has 4 kids. I went to her house the other day and was like, take a bath. I'm going to clean your kitchen. Like, I'm just trying to do nice things for people, you know, because it's like, it's not about me. That's what I want to put my time into. To answer your question about what makes me happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, so Christina, we're almost out of time before we go.
That hour flew by.
Yeah.
Well,
it started a little late, but I know.
That went super quick.
Yet, but got to get
right.
To this
but point. No, I looked down at the time and I'm like, how have we been talking for that long? It doesn't feel like it was that long.
Are we Facebook friends, Samantha? We need to be.
I think we are, but
didn't we do a show together a long time ago?
I know. Actually, when you said your hair was bright red, that's where I was like, I thought it was, because I think I know Silas. I won't take up too much.
No,
I think I met you at one of my very first forays into the Seattle scene. I think it was something you were doing in Renton.
Yep. The Hangar.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I was super new to this particular scene. And I think I was having not the best time in life at the moment. But like,
yeah, that rowdy ass room, didn't I remember? I paid my closers so much money for 20 minutes because it was like, you're going to earn every dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I thought I did a show with you in Shoreline or something. I can't remember.
Oh, could have been.
Maybe that Camp Benefit show for Jamal. Were you on that?
Wait, on the witch?
For Jamal Harrison's cancer
fundraiser?
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, the guy like never gave him the money, but he paid all the female comics like hella money.
I don't know if I got paid.
Can I tell you something? Well, that's fair. You were new. But I have to tell you something. Like that show, that guy was like a producer and he was like sleeping with all these women. And I was like, you know, he's married, right? Like I got a car. I got a free car and you guys are all like sad. It's like, you know, I was like, no, I'm taking advantage of this situation. But he's like, here's a free car. I was like, okay, thanks. Like, we all know you're married, dude.
A free car?
The money from the cancer benefit show.
A car?
It was a Ford Ranger. It was an old school car. But hey, man, I do have a car. And I named it right White Cracker. And Justin Hayes and I drove that thing to the ground. It was a blast.
Wait, yeah, he gave you a car.
I mean, it's not like he gave me a Lexus, but he gave me a car and I didn't have a car. It's perfect.
Wait, from the fundraiser?
No, just in general.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
And I realize I'm not going to sleep with you, right? But of course I'm like, but I already did sleep with him. So I guess I kind of get a car out of it. Oh, fuck that guy.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
Christina, the first time somebody comes on a show, we have 7 questions that we like to ask them. It's the Black and a Half world famous 7 questions. Okay. No wrong answers. Just first thing comes to your mind. Don't worry. Yeah. Number 1, what are you most nerdy about?
Agates.
What?
Agates.
Agates?
Rocks. I've been trying to find agates everywhere. And looking at the stars, because I think stars are talking to me right now.
Is this a long time thing?
This is a new thing. And quantum physics. I'm super into quantum physics.
Interesting.
This is all new. Like, if I was the guy, I'd be that guy at the open mic talking about getting laid. But I can catch a dick any day. Even talking about quantum physics. Next question.
What's something that you love to eat?
Dick. No. Probably jalapeno and artichoke dip with pita chips.
Okay. What's something that you love to drink?
Vodka.
Any particular make, brand?
You know, there's a brand that has, like, it's the knockoff brand. It's a Kirkland brand. That's actually like a Great Goose. It's by the same manufacturer. I love that one. With Tito's usually.
Cool. What music do you love?
Right now, I'm super into Pop Smoke. And
what? Is that a band?
Hmm?
Is that a band?
Not Silas. I thought you were black.
You said Pop Smoke?
Yeah. Oh my God, this guy. Samantha, do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
You guys don't know who I'm talking about?
Pop Smoke. I said, what kind of music? Is that an artist?
Rap.
It's a type of rap, or is it a rapper?
Stop. Yes. I'm into and also 80s remixes.
80s remixes.
Yeah, is that more related?
Yeah, a little bit. Is Pop Smoke a person?
Yeah, he's dead though, but yeah, he's really good.
Oh, well, why would I care about dead people?
I know, fuck him.
He's not a kind of. Okay. What do you love to create?
Let's see. The first thing I was going to say was painting, but I love my apartment. I worked really hard to get this apartment. So I pretty much just spend most of my time like doing projects here. And I also, I love plants. So if I can find I'll show you. I succulent, like these are succulents. They're like, I propagate them. Do you see this?
Mm-hmm.
So I make succulents. And they're like little babies in them.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. So like I get to do, like, I like to like make anything that involves like the earth. I pretty much like, but plants for sure.
What's a game you love to play?
Mental chess.
Mental chess?
Yeah.
So like just not actually playing it?
No, it's like it's a joke for like mental chess, you know, when you like, it's like a dating joke because dating is, I don't know, I guess you're engaged, Samantha, but like just being single, it's like playing mental chess all the time. But to, I don't really like Scrabble or maybe like Dictionary.
Have you seen The Queen's Gambit?
I started watching it recently. I just started seeing how to like learn how to play chess. I'm not very good at it though. Do you play chess?
I haven't played in a while and I'm not great at it.
Because when you said mental chess, decent. That's what I thought of immediately.
Yeah.
Was the Queen's
so
Gambit
it, when you get, when you get further into it, you'll, I don't want to spoilers for you.
Wait, is there a theme for that? I'm talking about like mind games and manipulation.
No. That's what I actually figured you were talking about. Yeah. But then it made me think of The Queen's Gambit. So I don't want to spoil it for you. It's really good.
I need a new show right now. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, it's really good. Snowfall, also really good if you haven't seen it. I binged 4 seasons in 1 week.
Oh my God. Okay, Snowfall.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that it's a feel-good one. But the character development in it was amazing. Like, just, so well done.
I'm super excited. I love new shows. I just watched The One on Netflix. It's really good.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's in my queue. It looked interesting.
I like that. Okay, and last question. In 100 years, when someone reads your biography, what do you want to be remembered for?
Disruption. Not in a negative way. I'm thinking something that disrupts, creates talk. Doesn't have to be negative. Like think of Uber being the new taxi. Like I want to have some type of disruption, like with women and like maybe not necessarily comedy, but I will definitely be remembered or just like that ho for show. I'm definitely not ever going to have a boyfriend again. No.
Okay. Well, hey, that was awesome, Christina. Thank you for coming on the show today. For being our token.
Your second string
token white person. What?
Token white. I'm not white.
McMillan is obviously a
standby to receive
very darkened name.
My dad's from Ireland, but my mother is Spanish from Spain.
Wait,
look more Irish.
Well, thanks, Jane. Thanks for coming on and being friends with us.
Yeah, have a great time. Thank you for having me.
Join us. Impressive. Join us. Impressive. Live long and prosper.